When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Joining us in moments will be Jason Wirth, a player who was loved and then hated. And then now, I think looking back, we all realize what we had. And Jason Wirth, beloved here in Philadelphia. We did, Jack, in the hallways, just get... I think it was momentous in two ways. So Jeff saw, we'll get to it in a moment. But as promised, Jason Wirth joins us now. Jason, appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
What's up, Jason?
So you're a horse guy now. A big horse. Have you always been a horse racing guy, or is this something that you've gotten into the last few years?
Yeah, no, I was never a horse racing guy. I lucked into it. I was playing some golf with some guys down here in Florida, and one of the guys was been in horse racing for like 25 years, and you know, had a bunch of horses and mostly Florida breds or whatever. And I partnered up with him on a couple of horses, and then I was like, man, this is sick. This is a lot of fun, and started buying some horses, and ended up in Keeneland at the yearling sale a couple of years ago, and a guy that I knew was didn't have a name yet, but had this horse that he thought was going to be a good horse, and asked me if I wanted to buy in on 10%, and that turned out to be Dornock. So that was the first colt I ever bought was the Belmont winner this year.
Well, how about that?
That'll make you fall in love with horse
that'll
racing.
That'll make you fall in love with horse racing.
So easy game.
Yeah.
I got to ask you, Jason. I got to ask you. All right, you won a World Series as a player. You win the Belmont as sort of an owner. Which was more thrilling for you? Or more, should I say, more gratifying for you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'll put the winning the World Series as one, the parade in Philly 1A, and then winning the Belmont is number two.
Good answer.
But I'll tell you this: as a retired athlete, as you know, there's not a whole lot that can really get those juices going and get that feeling of playing in front of 50,000 people, of playing at the big the World Series or playoff games or having big moments where. You get to go nuts and the people, there's people cheering for you and just having those experiences of winning or even the opposite of when, the agony of defeat when you want something so bad and you lose and it's just crushing. I mean, that's the other side of this, right? And I got into horse racing and literally I went to a race, one of the first horses that I owned part of, and it was like a Tuesday afternoon at Tampa Bay Downs, a low-level claiming race, a kind of a nothing race, not a big-time horse whatsoever. And, here these horses are. They're getting ready to race. They're in the paddock. They're putting the saddle on them, the jockeys. You're talking to the jockeys, the trainer. And, all of a sudden you get that feeling in your stomach, like that pregame feeling, like, you're getting ready to go out on the field. And I'm like, damn, this is pretty cool. And then, then they get on the field, and then they get in the gate, and the gate opens, and all of a sudden you're like, man, I'm back on the field. So then, it takes them a minute to get around the track or whatever, even 2 minutes depending on the race. But by the time they come around the home stretch, man, you're like full on back on the field, going crazy. Like you got those crazy feelings going. It's the same chemicals in your brain. They're getting released. I'm sure of it. And that all of a sudden it's like, dude, this is a Tuesday afternoon. This is nuts. So when you run in big races like the Belmont or, we ran the Derby, we ran 10th of the Derby, but I mean, that was one of the coolest things I've ever been a part of. When they were going into the gate at the Derby, I was literally hyperventilating. I could not take a breath. I had to do this weird scream thing to be able to inhale some air. And you know, we ran 10th, and it was like I felt like the times that, you know, we lost the World Series. So, I mean, I just don't think there's nothing in life that really is as cool as playing professional sports and being on the field. And then you go and you own some horses, and then you get to feel those emotions again. It's a great sport for retired athletes, and that's kind of the idea that I started this racing partnership syndicate called Icon Racing. You can follow us on some of our socials on Icon Racing LFG, and you know, maybe try to bring some new owners in. I think it's a great sport, like I said, for retired athletes, and those are the kind of the people we're going after.
What, Jason Wirth with us? Jason, we all talked before the show, and we got together $1,000, and
we're trying to buy in.
Yeah,
man.
Are you going to let us in? How much of the horse can we get for $1,000?
You can't get in with me, but you can get in with my racehorse. My racehorse is a New Age Syndicate, and they're doing ownership shares, micro shares for $1,000, and it's the same thing. I mean, I talked to those guys, and they have owners that buy in for even $500, and you still get to experience horse racing as an owner, and I think it's a great way to do it. And you get to follow the horse; they keep you up to date. I mean, these horses, they become part of your life, man. They're like more than family pets. I mean, you follow them, you watch them, when Dornick won the Belmont, I mean, we were all bawling our eyes out on the way to the winner's circle, because it was just such an incredible experience. And I mean, I would tell anybody. I've told people that, you know, if it's not with us, there's other groups that you can depend on your budget and what who you are, what you got. I would say to get in on horse racing as an owner, because it's not the same as going to the track and just betting on a horse. Or going, you know, going to the Kentucky Derby and watching, it's a totally different experience. These things are life changing. They're professional athletes in their own right. They train, they travel, they ship them in, they race them, and they're just incredible creatures, man. I'm telling you.
Well, Jason, you said like family pets. We have the dog sleep in bed with us. Do you ever have the horse just sort of, you know, on a cold night, you have the horse sleep in bed?
I do not, but I will tell you that Dornick's groom Elio is like, you know, he's always there. He takes care of him. And when we ran in the Haskell, we were kind of like, you know, the Haskell's at Monmouth Park up in Monmouth, New Jersey, and the barns, they sit on the backside of the track, and then there's a set of barns across the track. And that's where Dornock's barn was, and Elio didn't like it. He didn't like where he was. He was like, he's on the wrong side of the tracks, man. And Elio literally set his cot in front of Dornock's barn, stall at his barn the night before the Haskell, and slept right there with him to make sure nothing happened to him. And then he went out and won the Haskell the next day. So I have not, but Elio has.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Jason Wirth with us. Jason, you, of course, played with Bryce in Washington, played with Trey as well. Bryce is sort of like not just a player, but as a guy. What difference do you see in him now compared to when you knew him then?
Yeah, I mean, look, I got Bryce when he was 19 years old. I mean, he was you know, just a kid. He barely played any in the minor leagues. He was, you know, on the cover of Sports Illustrated, first round pick, first pick overall, all this hype, you know, and he had a long journey to get to where he is now. And I think I'm so proud of Bryce of who he's become and who he is and the man that he is, the father, the husband, the teammate, the professional. He has become, you know, just an icon in the sport, and I'm super proud of him. I got to see him way back when he, you know, he was a chicken with his head cut off, running around with his hair on fire, and I'm, you know, not really knowing, having the best instincts, but just playing hard, you know, some days, not playing hard on the other, getting kicked out of games for no reason because he didn't want to play that day, and you know, we got him when he had a lot to learn. A lot of guys put a lot of time into him in Washington, and you know, we got to see him grow up, and it was good. I think it was great for him to get a fresh start in Philadelphia, and really, you know, be able to start over and reinvent himself and become who he is today. And you know, he's the captain of that team. He's got the pulse on the clubhouse, and I can just see it in him, man. He's become just a living legend in Philadelphia, and I'm super proud of him. He's got one big step. He's got one big step to make.
Mm-hmm.
Winning is not easy, but I do know what he's, what him and Trey and the rest of those guys are giving Philadelphia. They're giving everything they got every night, and it's great to see Philadelphia with a packed house every night of the week and cheering on their Phillies team, because that's when Philadelphia's at their best.
You mentioned Trey, Jason. You also had a chance to see him early in his career. He's had a little bit of an up and down start to being here in Philadelphia. He certainly had his moments where he looked like the Trey Turner we all thought we were getting. But there's also been times where there was some struggles there. When you watch Trey sort of play, like, you still feel like he's that player that was really at one point viewed as a top 10 player in baseball. You still feel like he has that in him.
Oh yeah, I mean I regard Trey as one of, if not the greatest athletes in the world today. I mean, he's freakishly fast. He's super bright. He's got a great mind. His instincts are unbelievable. He hits for power and average. He plays the most demanding position on the field and still puts up crazy numbers. The type of guy is, his mentality, how he goes about it day in, day out. Trey Turner is, you know, he's getting into his prime years now. I think he is every bit, if not better, than the player that I had in Washington. And you know, look, this game is not easy. It comes with up and downs. But I don't think you'll find a better player anywhere in the league than Trey Turner.
So, you know, we have a manager here in Rob Thompson who is definitely seen as a player's manager, kind of laid back, lets the guys sort of, manage themselves in some sort of way. Charlie Manuel was also seen as a player's manager, but it seemed like he had a point to which he would say, no, not that anymore, or, you know, he would have a line to cross. How important is the manager holding players accountable for the culture of a clubhouse?
Yeah, I mean, look, today's game is different, right? The culture's different. The attitude amongst players in the league is different. There's a lot more rules. Charlie Manuel was definitely the type of guy that would put his boot in your ass when you needed it. Sometimes when you didn't need it, but that was just Charlie. So, not knowing, not being in the clubhouse and just watching from afar, I think Rob's, he's great. He's player's manager. Everything I've heard about him is awesome. The times that I've met with him, he's got a really great demeanor on him. You know, these kids nowadays, they're not as gritty, I don't think, as the players of the past. Not that that's a knock on them. It's just the culture of the game. They can get away with a lot more. So you got to manage them a little bit differently. But look, I don't know. There's not too much to say. Obviously they didn't get the job done. But I will say one thing, that when you start out that hot, in a season, you gotta get red hot at some point, and you want to do it at the end of the season, not at the beginning. But you can't control when you do it. And when you get that hot in the beginning, it really makes it tough at the end. I went through this in Washington when we did that same thing in 2010 in Philly. When you're the best team in baseball, and then in September, you're way ahead and you take your foot off the throttle a little bit. It's really hard to put it back on. And that sometimes is it's a blessing and a curse to be the best team in baseball, to be, have that good of a record early on. And sometimes it can just put you on your heels a little bit. It can be tough to turn it back on, but no knock against those guys. They're a great team. They got a great group of guys. I do believe that Bryce and Trey and the boys are going to get it done here in one of these years.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Jason, one last question just about hitting, because one of the things that Dave Dombrowski said after the year, that Rob Thompson said after the year, they talked about chasing, and they also talked about using the entire field and how they have to concentrate that on that more next year. Is that something that you think a player can adjust to, at 30 years old or 31 years old, or is that not something that you can just sort of turn on later in your career?
First of all, 30 years old, 31 years old, you're still pretty young in the game. I mean, you're kind of just getting into your prime. I would joke with Bryce all the time, and I would tell him, I'd be like, you're going to be a pretty good player when you're 30. And here he is. He's starting to get into his 30s, and he's a pretty good player. I was right. But with that regard, I mean, you know what's tough about hitting in Philadelphia is the ball. At times, the ball can fly. It's a great place to hit. The background, you have a great hitter's background, one of the best in the league. There in Arizona, Milwaukee are the three best places in my mind to hit. And then you got kind of the, it feels because the stadium's on top of you. It feels like you're in the friendly confines. Like you can really get a ball and get it out of there pretty easy. So sometimes it does get into your mentality a little bit. You're trying to do too much with the ball instead of just taking what you're given. But that's easier said than done. And again, this game is different. I mean, you get rewarded for hitting 200 if you hit enough home runs. You know, it's not looked at as. I mean, if you hit 200 when I played, you'd never play again, regardless how many home runs you hit. So the game's changed a little bit in that regard. I don't know if it's better or if it's not. It's not the game I grew up with, but hitting's hard, guys. I will tell you, it's tough, and winning's hard. And these guys got a good team. They got chemistry. I got this person in front of me not driving. Got to honk at him.
Honking's free. My uncle used to say that all the time.
Yeah. But
I think
these guys. I think they're great. I follow them. I love these dudes. I'm proud of them. It was definitely a successful season. I know people are bent out of shape for them not getting it done. But look, there's no guarantees in baseball. There's no guarantees in life and winning stuff.
All right, Jason, we appreciate you, man. Icon Racing and 2-8 Racing. And we're going to work on getting enough money together to buy into one of your horses. WIP Afternoon Show wants too badly.
Definitely.
So good luck with that.
Always welcome. Take the time. You guys be good.
All right, brother. Thank you. There he is, Jason Worth. I'm going to tell you something shocking that happened out in the hallway. I think good news from a Soto perspective and good news from a sacrifice for Soto perspective right after Jack tells you where to get appliances.
There's only one place to get appliances, Spike. You know that.
National Appliance Warehouse.
That's right. Because right now, we know November is a big, big month. Football, Thanksgiving, and Black Friday. And what they say about Black Friday is not the same as it used to be. They kind of say that about baseball, too. But Black Friday sales aren't what they used to be. That's not the case at National Appliance Warehouse. The Black Friday mega sales going on right now. Mark Stomach and his team negotiate huge discounts directly from the manufacturers, so you are getting the best price. You always get the best price at National Appliance Warehouse, but you save even more now with the Black Friday mega sale going on. So price is short. It instantly updates price tags all around the store. It finds a lower price elsewhere. Also, tax-free Delaware, and also great savings events. But just because you're getting the best price doesn't mean you're not going to get the best customer service experience. It is unbeatable. Trust me. Get down there today. They treat you like family. You walk in, and it looks like you're having a good time. They're having a good time. Everyone's having a good time at National Appliance Warehouse. But just because of the great savings events going on and also the unbelievable customer experience, you're also going to get the best stuff. 15,000 square foot showroom, over 100 brands from sub-zero to budget. So get down there today. Learn more at nationalappliancewarehouse.com or visit their showroom in tax-free Wilmington or Middletown, Delaware today. And as always, tell them Fritz sent you.
All right, let's do a High Hopes Jackie baseball sacrifice for Soto report. I see Jack's face, so no. I'm trying to sacrifice for Soto.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Sacrifice for Soto. Here's Jackie Baseball.
Here he is.
So, Jackie, before we get to it, what happened in the hallway that you should be updated on is Jeff Sotolano, who I think his official title is president of programming, something like that. Mm-hmm. big wig for Odyssey.
I like that you say, I think that's what his
I think it's what it is, but I know what his job is. I'm not sure what his title is now. It changes around a lot. But he's a Mets fan.
Yep.
And he expressed to us that he is worried about the Phillies signing Juan Soto. That his concern is the Phillies because our owner will sign big stupid contracts, is what he said. But he's worried. So a Met fan is worried about the Phillies. And Jack, he expressed to Ike that he needs to up his mayonnaise sacrifice.
Well, it's about time.
And that came from way up high, Ike.
It did.
Yes.
It did. I thought he was going to mandate it. I was like, hold on, slow down, man.
Four-decker mayonnaise sandwich? Would you keep adding more mayonnaise?
And he also gave me advice to not name my second child Juan.
Get him out of here. Get Jeff out of here.
He's down here messing up everything.
Yeah, who cares what he says?
He got an opinion on everything.
You guy's an idiot. Get out of here.
Yes.
Go back on your Zooms.
Well,
send an email.
Yeah, exactly. Spike's whatever Spike used to do, just send emails all day. So the soda thing's not going well. I mean, I know I appreciate Jeff. You know, we like to hear that. But, you know, Jeff Passan came out earlier today.
I saw that.
Teams are lining up to meet with Soto. Early returns, RFLs aren't one of them. Blue Jays are getting the first meeting with Juan Soto. Red Sox are in there.
Okay, who else? Mets, Yankees.
Mets, Yankees.
The Yankees meeting's next week, I think.
Yes,
Hal Steinbrenner, Aaron Boone, and Brian Cashman.
It's good that they decided to have a meeting
with them. They decided to go and have a face-to-face meeting. That's good.
And not only a face-to-face meeting, but in California.
Oh, so they're going to him?
Yes.
That's even better.
Yeah,
awesome.
Somebody woke up over there.
They said we should probably do this. Now, Blue Jays obviously feel like a long shot.
That's who he's gonna wind up signing with.
They have to make it they have to show their fans they're trying to do something. I think. But regardless, the Phillies not getting a meeting, and hopefully they set one up. But the way that Middleton talked on Friday kind of feels like they're setting up a soft landing for the fan base on the whole Juan Soto front.
Why don't you tell them what Middleton said, just in case they didn't know?
Well, he said that they feel like they are a stalking horse in this, and that he doesn't think he's going to leave New York. He doesn't think he wants to leave New York.
But he did say they would try, right?
He said they're going to try, but they don't feel like he wants to leave New York, is essentially what he said.
Well, listen, it's not all that encouraging, but I thought you were going to tell me that they were just out on the idea of getting him.
No, I think that they're
bracing for not being one of his top choices.
I think what they were trying to do right now is not get people's hopes up.
Which is smart on them because they don't want everybody to be ticked off if he doesn't get here.
Do you think he's upset at our little effort here at sacrifice for Soto?
They certainly are aware of it, for sure.
But they got to do their jobs and we got to do ours.
Yes.
So
I'll say this. We always knew that it ultimately is going to boil down to where Juan Soto wants to go. It's not going to be a shortage of teams that are interested in him. So he's going to have his choice.
For sure. Middleton also said that signing Juan Soto, whoever signs him, their odds obviously get better to win the World Series. In COVID, we lost over $200 million. My desire to get my trophy back has made me a lot of money. Our tab is $750 million. And my wife said, my wife said, you are not spending $750 million on the Phillies. And that was that.
Now, that is not encouraging right there. Wifey already said we ain't spending $750 million on the Phillies.
Come on.
Now, also,
what about sacrifice for Soto?
Does she know what Juan Soto's OPS is?
Yes.
He's Ted Williams.
Yeah, let's send her a highlight package or so. Somebody get her email. And you know what? I think he was at a business conference, so that's why he was talking money. I'm sorry. I know it's reality. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you lost $200 million in the COVID.
Well, COVID was so long ago.
We're doing it. The ballpark's packed all the time. People are wearing lots of T-shirts. Yeah. They're buying.
Yeah. By the way, you signed Trey Turner after COVID.
Yes, it's a good point. I ordered my Juan Soto jersey, my Phillies Juan Soto jersey. You know, he gets a piece of that.
With the full name on the back, too.
Yeah, because it won't let you do Soto 22.
I know, which is funny.
Yeah, so that's why I had to put the full name on the back. I just had to put Juan Soto instead of just Soto.
Yeah, so not great for that. But Jeff Passan came out today and say that Alec Bohm is officially on the trade block.
Oh.
So that was interesting.
Yeah.
He's kind of been floated out there for a little bit. I think he's the guy they view can get the most back to shake this thing up.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. I just wonder what is the alternative plan? Like, who are they going after that could enhance their chances of playing the way they say they want to play So instead of trying to get in the whole lineup to change their approach at the plate, you got to start bringing in some players that already have that approach.
Can I tell you that's why I get nervous about the Garrett Crochet rumors? Because if they trade for Crochet, they're obviously going to have to pay him. He's going to need an extension as well. And it just reminds me, it's funny, we just had Jason Worth on. And I think back to, it was a decision between Cliff Lee and Jason Worth. And if you were to make that decision again, I think the decision is Jason Worth. And I just wonder about the idea of doubling down on starting pitching when the team, there's all different ways to win the World Series, but the team that just won the World Series essentially had none of their starting pitchers. The Dodgers, like all of their starting pitchers were hurt and they wound up with the problem last year was not the starting pitching. It was the lineup. And I get the idea of doubling down on your strength, but it just,
I think it's the only way they view it as a real big upgrade.
Is by adding Crochet. And do you get nervous with him from an injury standpoint?
Sure.
Garrett Crochet's on the White Sox and was on an innings limit last year, or was coming back from surgery.
Coming back from Tommy John.
Yeah.
Yeah, the injuries are real with him. They've always been real with him. But they were also real with Chris Sale, and I think that he views Crochet as his Chris Sale.
Chris Sale's going to cost us a lot of money.
Oh, yes, for the Cy Young.
Yes.
It's crushing. Oh. It's crushing, Spike. It's absolutely crushing.
Sorry about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
They could go after Roky Sasaki, who I think is the best pitcher on the planet.
He's going to Dodgers.
Let's give him another one.
Yeah, I know. I think he's going to be a Padre, actually. But,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, the truth is everybody can only offer basically the same amount. Everybody has a certain... So the way the international things, you have a certain amount of money you can spend on international players, so you can't... It really just comes down to where they want to play.
Yeah, Yamamoto was able to sign for $330 because he had accrued 6 years.
Accrued.
Yeah.
I was gonna let it go, but
accrued 6 years of service time over in a non-major league. So if the Phillies, if he posts before December 2nd, the Phillies can offer him $42,000.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's not enough.
If he posts after December 2nd, they can offer him like $6 million.
Okay, which is about the same that everybody else can offer.
Mostly, yes.
Yeah.
$42K?
Yeah. Well, this is not a great Sacrifice for Soto update, but I'm not losing hope.
It's actually depressing.
But Jeff being scared of the Phillies, I don't believe. I think they might be publicly setting us up for disappointment, but privately, I just can't imagine a guy like that is on the market and they don't give it a try.
Heyman did say there's some mystery teams involved. The Phillies love being the mystery team.
We were a mystery team, and we were the most famous mystery team of all time. I would say, for Cliff Lee, right? We were the most famous mystery team of all time.
By the way, John Middleton threw that $750 million number out there for a reason.
That he thinks that's what it's going to cost.
Well, yeah, and he wants to feel like how jarring it is to say $750 million.
It's not jarring to me. I don't care.
Has he ever tried to eat a mayonnaise sandwich?
Yeah, right? Okay, how about this?
I'm just saying, we're in a day and age where it's like we're signing players to $750 million contracts.
Yeah, well, look, John, you get the tattoo, we'll come up with the $700 million. Name one of your kids Juan.
You change your name to Juan Middleton?
Yeah, while eating a mayonnaise sandwich.
Yeah.
Triple decker.
That's real sacrifice.
Triple decker. The top five of five is coming up next, which is everybody's favorite part of the WIP afternoon show. What do we have to look forward to, Jack?
We've had some positive developments on this show, and it's about time that we talk about it.
Oh, positive developments.
Yes.
I like positive because normally top five of five is just obliterating one of us, normally Ike. So that's next on the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.